You guys may be seated. Also, you guys killed it. So tonight, we're in our series of honor for the month, and it is my honor to be preaching on a Sunday night. Thank you so much. This month has been awesome. It's been incredible in the big service. It's been incredible on Sunday nights. And I am just so grateful to be up here. And the title of my sermon is The Forgotten Honor. And if you don't know, my name is Pastor Cody. I'm the student ministries pastor here. So those students up on the stage are some of my youth students. And it has been an honor and so much fun working with them and growing with them as they grow in the Lord. But just to give you a perspective on some of the things that have been forgotten over time is things like this. It's purity. It's honor. It's integrity. It's honesty. It's love. These virtues that we've grown up and been a rock in people's lives, but now you see them kind of being thrown to the wayside. You see teenagers doing whatever they please, and no one is doing anything to stop that. You see things that are just being tossed around like it doesn't even matter, that it used to matter 50 years ago. And there's a culture that in America has been fostered over the years. If you look at other countries, if you were to travel, I love traveling, and a lot of my passion and bucket lists are traveling to other countries. But you see other countries, and when you travel there, they have a culture of honor. Like if you look at like Japan, they have a culture of honor where there are generations living in the same household. They are taking care of ones that are older than them. Or if you go into another country, it's an honor to bow when you meet someone. That's honoring them. Or another thing that you might do or not do is in certain countries, it's dishonoring to show the bottom of your feet because that's dirty to them. And so if you were to show the bottom of your feet, that's creating dishonor in them, and that would not be a good thing if you're meeting someone new. But here in America, most of those things I just said don't even exist. It's hardly where you go to someone and you shake their hand. In some countries, you shake and bow. Here, it's just like, hey, how you doing? Or you're sitting at home and you plop your feet up and you lounge, or you're in your office and you plop your feet up on your desk. It's almost, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, it's just there's a different culture here in America. Or some examples of honor are, imagine if you saw a teenager, because I'm going to pick on them, helping an elderly woman to her car with her groceries. That is honor. That is honor. Or if you are someone tall, like my wife and I were at Walmart and we were going through the aisle, and this sweet older lady was like, can you grab this up on the top shelf? And she's like, yeah. And you get, that's honoring them. Honoring someone who is older than you. Or you see someone that is in need of help and you help them even when you didn't need to do that. That is honoring them. But a lot of times, it's almost like a shock when we see something like that happen. When in reality, that should be the culture that we're fostering here. It's something that we want, but yet we're kind of not doing it. And so I'm going to be talking about the forgotten honor. And if you have your Bibles, I want you guys to turn to Mark chapter 6. We're going to be looking into that chapter tonight. But the forgotten honor is what I'm going to be preaching about. And kind of give you a context of this chapter in Mark. Jesus was returning back to his hometown. Not his birthplace, But the place where he grew up, and a year prior to that, of him coming back to this visit, he was actually run out of town from his hometown, from his own people threatening to kill him. And so he comes back after this tour in a world, we would call it probably his teaching tour or Jesus's, some of his earlier years. And he's teaching God's words, doing all of these miracles. He turned water into wine. He multiplied loaves and fish. And he even healed Peter's mother-in-law. And so, Jesus came into his hometown. And when the Sabbath came around, he began to preach or teach in the synagogue. And many who had heard him were amazed. And you could find this in Mark 6, verses 1 through 4. And they asked him this, "Where did this man get these things?" They asked. "What's the wisdom that has been given him, that he does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown among his relatives and in his own house is a prophet without honor." And that blows me away. Imagine if you were healed from Jesus or by Jesus, and all of a sudden you hear people saying, "Oh, isn't he just the carpenter's son? Isn't he so and so? Isn't he just the little boy that we grew up with? But man, he just healed you. He just did a miracle right in front of you." And so, to explain a little bit, without honor in the Greek is atimos, is to dishonor, to treat as common or ordinary or menial. And honor is spelled as time, is to value, respect, or highly esteem, to treat as precious, weighty, or valuable. And so what I'm going to be talking about with the forgotten honor is we, as someone who is a little bit older than teenagers or parents, we need to be the ones teaching our younger generation how to honor. As parents, it is your job to teach your kids how to honor. But how many times, and you don't have to agree with me, but a lot of times what I see, and it happened in my family as well, is when your children are babies, you take a bunch of pictures, you love on them, you think they're cute, and all of a sudden they get into the teenager age, and you're like, "Oh man, I can't stand to have them around. They annoy me, they can't stop talking, they smell bad." Maybe that's just teenage boys. But I've heard these things being said even about some of our students. And I'm not trying to slap you on the wrist, but I want to show you guys what this does to our teenagers. What this does is, what does honor do in their lives? Honor helps build up. It lifts them up to a higher standard or a higher calling or being, or kind of boosts their confidence. It believes the best in their lives. It values them as a person. What does dishonor do? It does the exact opposite. Dishonor tears them down. Dishonor believes the worst in them, and it devalues them as a person. And so sometimes what will happen is, "Man, I wish my children were like so-and-so's. So-and-so's children are so well-behaved, are so perfect," right? But we don't see what's going on behind the scenes there either. But Have you ever said that? Man, I wish my kids were better because I valued them more. Normally it's, I wish my kids were better because they messed up, right? You're looking at the worst a lot of times. But let me tell you this, respect is earned, honor is given, no matter what. Is given no matter what. Just like we talked about this morning, love, no matter what, is always there. Is always there on the table. God loves us no matter what. We talked about this in Sunday school. You could do anything wrong in the world, God still loves you because God is love, right? The same thing with honor. You give honor out no matter what. You honor them as a person. You honor them, but respect is the thing that has to be earned. You don't say this or you don't do this in your life. When you're honorable, then I'll show you honor. Normally what happens is when I ascribe or attribute to you honor, you often become honorable. Think about with teenage boys. When you honor them as a man, that means the world to them. All of a sudden they're like, wait, I'm a man? I got 3 chest hairs and I'm awesome now. Like I'm a man, right? But if you talk to them as a boy constantly, what does that do? That belittles them. That thinks they're like, oh, well, maybe, you know, I'm not good enough. They start getting these things because that's how the enemy works. That's how the enemy works in their lives. And so looking further into that story in Mark chapter 6, verses 5 through 6, says, Jesus could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. So the lack of honor and faith limited what Jesus could do. Remember, honor lifts up. Dishonor tears down. So who are we called to honor? We're called to honor a lot of different people. And it says a lot of them in the Bible, but we're called to honor our parents. So I picked on the parents now. Students, you have to honor your parents, even if they tell you to clean your room and you don't want to clean your room because you'd rather be listening to music or watching Netflix or doing whatever that is that you want to do instead. You're called to honor them even when it's uncomfortable, even when you don't really want to. And we're called to honor those in authority. Teachers, other parents, pastors, politicians, governors, police officers. We're called to honor those in authority. The third one is we're called to honor our pastors and church leaders. In 1 Timothy 5:17 says this, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those who work whose work is preaching and teaching. We do this well in October because it's Pastor Appreciation Month. We honor the pastor, right? We honor them because they deserve honor. But we need to honor them year-round, not just in October, right? And then the next one, the fourth one I'm going to talk about is our children. I don't have kids, but I feel like I have like 45 of them. But that's going to be my main focus tonight. And I prefaced the others before this one because I want to make a point at this. Is how many times, and I grew up in a kind of a divorced home, so this happened a lot for me, but the first one, how many times do you have an argument or you talk bad about the other parent in front of your kids? That happened a lot in my life. All of a sudden, that is showing dishonor to me as the kid from my parent. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at my mom or my dad differently. They may not have known that, but that is a way that we can honor our kids, is to show their parent, whether you're still together or divorced, honor. Or what about those in authority? This is going to be a touchy subject, but politicians. How many times do we talk bad about them in front of our kids? It's all over social media. We're creating dishonor in their lives already, and they're so young. They're this young, they're that young, they hear it, they retain it. And all of a sudden, when they get to be my age or your age, all of a sudden, that's the norm. That's something they've grown up with. Oh, I can just dishonor the politicians because that's what my parents did. It's normal. That doesn't mean I'm dishonoring them. I'm just speaking the truth. We can honor our kids by honoring those in authority. Police officers, teachers, politicians, mayors, governors, all of them. Or pastors and church leaders. We can honor them to show our kids how to honor them when they get old. What does it look like to honor our pastors? Well, this is how we do it. Okay, I can do that. Because kids watch our every move. They are like a sponge. It's crazy. You can say something and they'll remember it for years. So what are we teaching our kids to do with other parents, with those in authority, with our pastors and church leaders, or maybe it's even our neighbors? How do we honor our neighbors in our community to treat and to grow and foster an honoring culture within our family? Social media is out there. We can't really stop that. What we can focus in on is our family unit. What can we do better? And so, when it comes to honoring our kids as well, the fourth one, children. How do we talk to our other kids in front of our other children? Are we always pointing out the negatives? Are we always saying, oh, you know, you're not good enough, or you always mess up, or you always are causing problems? You can never clean your room right. Are we lifting them up? Are we saying, oh, you know, I love you. I know you did something wrong, but I love you, and I want to show you the steps of how not to make that happen again. What is the culture that we're creating for our kids? Because in the Bible, it talks about how in Matthew 25, verse 40, how to be the least of those, how to treat them, how to treat the least of them, Jesus will do for us, right? Even if it's a small child, the king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Or Matthew 18, verse 3, and he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So are we honoring our children? Are we honoring our teenagers? This has been on my heart all month as I've been preparing for this. In my role, am I honoring them? In my role as their youth pastor, in my day-to-day life, am I preparing enough to bring a word to them? Is my words producing enough fruit in their life? Or what do I need to cut and prune and maybe change to impact them the most, to create, to push them out, so when they leave my authority, they have a culture of not only honor, but strength, of perseverance, of a good foundation on the word? What does that mean in my life? And so, as a church, I want to challenge you guys. Is these students that you see over here on Sunday morning, or you see throughout the church, they look up to us. They watch us. They see how we're worshiping, and some of you guys, maybe not worshiping. They watch us as we're praying, or maybe as we're not praying. They see everything, whether we like it or not. They listen to everything, whether we like it or not. But what are we teaching them? Whether in our inactions or whether it's in our actions. And so, I'm not saying this because you guys need to repent or you're not honoring your children, but I want to do a wake-up call saying, you know, this is something that needs to happen because our culture is not doing our kids, our teenagers, a service. If anything, it's pushing them further away from the church. If anything, it's showing them what not to do. And so, It's things like our kids are saying, I can do what I want to do. I don't need my parents' permission. That's them dishonoring their parents. Or maybe it's, you know, I can't wait until I get out of the house. I just can't wait. Because then I'll be on my own and I won't have my parents nagging on me. I won't have this, that, the other. That breaks my heart when I hear that, because when you're under your parents' supervision, that's the most fruitful time in your life. You don't have bills, you don't have stress, you don't have hardly anything. You're under their umbrella of protection. And so, when you honor them as your children, when you honor them as a person, you negate those thoughts in their lives. Why? Because you treat them other than just a nuisance. You treat them other than just someone that eats all your food and leaves your house as a pigsty. Maybe that was just my parents, but I definitely ate all their food and I left their house as a pigsty. But when you honor them, when you honor as a parent, when you honor your kids, instead of pointing out all the negatives, instead of pointing out all the things they do wrong, when you start to point out the good things, you will see your kid soar like you've never seen them before. You will see them almost jump to a whole new standard, because all of a sudden they're like, wow, my parents noticed that. Man, I can do better than that. I was hardly even trying on this and they actually noticed. Imagine if I actually was. And all of a sudden, you take them to a whole new level. And you start to see their whole personality change. They start to honor you more instead of arguing more. They start to actually have conversations instead of going straight to their room. Because before then, all they'd know is when they came home, they're going to get addressed about something they did wrong. But now, they're getting uplifted and they're like, man, I want to talk about this. I want to hear more, because it's not going to belittle me at all. And so your teenagers rebel when they don't feel honored, when they feel put down. It makes them feel left out of the family. As parents, respect is earned, but honor should be freely given to your children, no matter what, just like love. So how are you parenting your teenagers? Are you coming in with a heavy hand? Or maybe you're more of a hands-off parent. Is it with honor? Or maybe it's with dishonor? Which dishonor is just not honoring. That doesn't mean that you're saying necessarily bad things to them. That's just not bringing honor into the equation. It's not having honor at all. So, some examples of honor that we can show our students. When you're at the grocery store, are you trying to get in and get out? Or maybe there's someone that you can help to show, to teach your students what it means to honor someone. Maybe it's an elderly woman that needs help getting her stuff to the car. Maybe it's someone that needs to grab something from the top shelf and no one seems to be helping, but you notice and you have that dilemma, should I help or do I need to get home and watch the football game? Or do I need to get home because I'm tired? Your students are seeing that. They see your eyes look at her or him. And they see you either walk away or go help. That, to them, will then dictate what they do later. When they have that dilemma, should I help them or should I not? If you didn't, then they probably won't. If you show them the way, they'll follow that way. Or maybe it's with military. Do you respect military? Do you walk over them? Thank you for your service. Pastors, teachers, politicians, adults. How are you showing your students how to honor? Has it been forgotten? The reason our culture is dishonoring is because of one main thing. And we all know it. It's because we aren't honoring God. We've taken God and the honoring of God out of almost everything. And so in Psalms 22, verses 23, it says, you fear the Lord and praise him all you descendants of Jacob, honor him, revere him, all you descendants of Israel. We are called to honor God, to honor him no matter what, to praise him, revere him. But in a lot of people in America, God is almost too familiar. He's just the big guy in the sky that helps when I have my checklist of things that need to be checked off. Or when I have an emergency, I then request from him. Or Jesus is just my homeboy. I think of, I don't know if you guys have seen this movie, but Talladega Nights and Ricky Bobby, when they're praying, it's hilarious because he talks about baby Jesus and bearded Jesus and all of this stuff because it's almost like he's too familiar with him. He doesn't revere him. He doesn't honor him as God. It's almost like he's just another friend that he's just walking down talking like he would to anybody else. But we need to honor him as the risen and conquering King. That doesn't mean that you have to talk to him like he's almost so distant, but that means you have to revere and honor him as the King. And we need to show that to our students. What does it mean to pray to God as the risen, conquering King? Honoring his position, but also knowing his place in our life. And so, we need to teach that first to our students so then they know to have that foundation set. When we honor God, we'll honor his people because his name is on them. We are children of God, right? Every one of us is a child of God. So when we honor God, that honor and how we treat him will then flow out to honor those around us, his children, right? Think about this. I'm a huge sports nut. I love sports. And Babe Ruth, growing up, was one of my all-time favorites, right? I don't know if you've heard of Babe Ruth, but he was a fantastic baseball player way back in the day. He has home run records that have since now been beaten, but he was phenomenal back in the day. And so he was so well known and so famous that his bats are worth a crazy amount of money. And I believe there's only 7 or 11 of his bats that were ever given out. And so after one home run contest, Babe Ruth gives one of his bats after he won it to his agent and says, hey, give this to someone, have a contest or something. And so his agent gives it to this guy, and it's an older gentleman, and he takes it home, and it's his most prized possession. But then he gets sick, and he's getting older, and he has no family whatsoever. So what does he do? He takes his bat and gives it to the only person he has contact with and actually has a relationship, and that's his nurse. She has no idea what this bat's worth or anything. So what does she do? She takes it and puts it under her bed. She keeps it out of honor for him, but she has no idea what it's worth. And all of a sudden, she has this dream or idea of starting her own business, and so she's starting to sell things and cleaning out her house to kind of get smaller so she can have more liquidation to start this business, and she finds this bat. And so she's like, well, I'm going to take it and see what it's worth. And she takes it to this sports memorabilia place, and the guy looks at the bat, looks at her, looks back at the bat, goes, gets his colleagues, comes back out, calls some other people and says, we need to figure out if this is real or not. And the lady's like, okay, well, what do you think it's worth? And he's like, I have no idea, but it's worth a lot. And she's like, are you serious? And so someone comes in and looks at it and authenticates it, and it's worth $1.3 million. And she's like, are you serious? And that was in 2006. And so something that she threw under the bed had no idea of the value, brought it, and it was worth $1.3 million. So what does she do? She starts her business and takes the rest and puts it to a foundation to help at-risk kids. The point of the story is this, is it matters about the name. If it was anybody else, the bat would be probably worthless. But because it had Babe Ruth's name on it, it was worth so much. The same thing goes for us. We have God's name imprinted on our hearts. Are we valuing that? Are we recognizing the value that that person's life has? In Isaiah 29:13, it says, "The Lord says this, 'These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" So are we honoring those around us with their words, but we don't really mean it with our heart? Because it all matters on whose name is on it. God's name is on every human being. Are we valuing them enough, like God would value them? Whether it's someone who's a billionaire or someone who's walking on the street homeless, are we honoring them the same? Or do we look at them through a lens saying, well, I can get more of a reward if I become friends and befriend this person than I can with them? God doesn't care about that. Honor. What's the culture of honor that we're creating here? If you see someone walking off the streets, what's the honor you're going to show to them based on how they look or what they act like or what they say? Because let me tell you, these kids here, they're watching. They're watching what we do. They're watching what we say. Then they're going to look and see, well, that's how I act when someone like that walks in. Okay. I either act with honor or, you know, I stay clear away. Because, you know, maybe they're a little rough around the edges. What's the culture that we're creating? Parents, we have a role here. Grandparents, aunts and uncles, friends of families, we have a role here. Remember, respect is earned and honor is given. It's not if, when you're honorable, I'll show you honor, but it's attributing honor to that person to help raise them up to the next level. It's seeing the potential in their life and showing honor to then grow them to where God is wanting them to go. Because too many times what we do is we keep them in a box and we push them down and we crunch them into who they're supposed to be, that we push all of what God has called them to be out. And it's happening all around us, is where the passions and the callings that these students and teenagers have on their life, it's getting beaten out of them by the world, and then all of a sudden we come home or we go to someone's friend's house and it's being pushed away or pushed to the side again, when we need to foster that. If they have a passion that they're passionate about, look into that, pour value into that, saying, you know what, you're passionate about that? Let me help you. I don't know what that or where that'll take you, but I want you to know that I value your passion and I will put value there so you know you're not alone. So remember, honor builds up. Honor believes the best. Honor values something. What is dishonor? Do it tears down. It believes the worst. It devalues. Let me tell you this. You can say 10 nice things to a student, and you can say one bad thing. All they'll remember is the one bad thing. It doesn't matter how great the 10 good things were. All they look at is the negative. Why? Because that has been the culture that has been created in the world. You don't look at the good, you only look at the bad, because if you can fix the bad, then you'll be good. But really, we need to focus in on the good, and if you focus in on that, the bad things will get worked out eventually. Why? Because there's love, there's forgiveness, there's grace. And so, how we are treating the teenagers, the words we're using towards them, the actions that we're showing them, means the world to them. Why? Because it is showing them how to honor. It is showing them what a Christian who is a little bit older is supposed to look like, supposed to act like. When bad things happen, what is going to happen when they hit the bad things? That's what we need to show them. When everything is tough, when they feel like they're stuck, what are they going to do? They're going to do the only thing they know and what they've seen. What is that going to be? What are we going to set forth for our students? It's the forgotten virtue. Honor. Are we doing the same thing that happened to Jesus when he went back to his hometown, where we didn't honor? Are we actually providing a fast track to God, saying, okay, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to push you in your passions and your callings. Why? Because who knows where that's going to lead you? Only God. We need to honor God in our church. We need to honor God in our homes. We need to honor God in our workplace, because it's important to their age to see that. And so I want to wrap up tonight. I know we're a little early, but I want to encourage you guys. I say this not because we're doing a bad job, because I think this church is fantastic. I think we're doing a great job. But you know what? The world is a dark place. It is a dark place, and we need to step up and battle what the world is doing to these students. Because I see these students come into youth, and I see them depressed. I see them suicidal. I see them cutting. I see them hurting because of what the world is doing. And a lot of times, it's not being counteracted in the homes, because some of the parents don't even know. They don't even know. Why is that? Because sometimes the students are afraid of what their parents will say. We need to create a culture that they feel okay to open up. Why? Because that needs to be a safe place. That needs to be a place where they can flourish and grow and counteract what the world is doing. And so, my challenge to you guys tonight is, if you see a student that God has placed on your heart, I want you to reach out to them this week. If you know or see someone on Sunday, just encourage them. Say, you know what? I see what you're doing, and I want to put value there. Whether it's their heart in worship, whether it's how they're greeting other people around, whether it's how they're maybe a little bit crazy than normal when they're worshiping. Too many times we're looking at that and they're jumping around and having a good time over here, and we're like, oh, they shouldn't be doing that. That's dishonoring to God. But maybe in their hearts, they're dancing before the Lord. Maybe it's them showing their praise to God. And we need to put value in their lives to show them. So that is my challenge to you this week. If you and God impresses on your heart a student that you see either on Wednesday or on Sunday, or maybe it's just throughout the week that you know personally, reach out to them and encourage them. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know the battles that are going on at school. And if you're a parent in this room or on the podcast, if you're a parent, I want to encourage you. We have some great students. You guys have done an awesome job. It has been my honor to lead them closer to God. But don't give up because maybe your teenager is, you know, kind of a stinker. Maybe is getting in trouble a lot. Don't give up. Don't give up on them. You know, when they are doing the most wrong is normally when they need the most love. And if you love them, no matter how bad or hard it may be, they'll eventually turn around and they'll realize, I messed up. And you'll be right there. And that can be a learning experience. Keep creating that culture in your family. That's important to you. Don't just stop right now. And as a church, I want to encourage you. What we have here on Sunday mornings, what we have here every single week, we're praying, we're interceding for God. These students are seeing that. They're watching everything we do. And from what I've seen, we're doing a good job. We're doing a good job. So keep pushing in for God, because we are right on the ledge of going all in. And when we do, we're bringing them right along with us. And let me tell you, some of the best memories I have from church are some of those you got into God's presence moments. And you're in there and you're seeking after God and God shows up. Those are some of the best moments I've had in my life. Seeing someone be healed. That's when God all of a sudden becomes not only God up there, but man, that actually happened. And as a teenager, sometimes you have that, like, does this really happen? Does this not? I've never seen it. And then you see it and you're like, I'm totally freaked out now, but that is awesome. And all of a sudden they have that with them for the rest of their life. So tonight I thank you for giving me the opportunity, and I want to pray that as a church, as families, as parents, that we walk alongside these students for the weeks and months to come, because I don't want to see any of them when they graduate and they go off to college to fall away from God. Because in my youth group, there's only about 5 of the 30 that are actually following God still, that are still active within the church. I don't want that for this group. But that requires us to not only reach out to them, but that requires us to leave an impact in their life, to know that when things get tough, they can turn back to us and they're not alone. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for tonight. And I thank you so much for these students, but I also thank you so much for everyone else in this room. Lord, that you have brought them here for a reason, God. There are people that are pillars of this church. There are parents in this room. There are friends in this room, God. I pray that tonight that you would work on our hearts, God. Lord, that we would see the things that maybe we don't even recognize that we're doing, that is showing dishonor towards someone. Whether it's the small comments or whether it's the blatant comments, Lord, show us what we can do to be better, because we need to always be moving closer to being more like Christ. Why? Because then we can show our students how to get closer to God, how to get more like Christ each and every day. Lord, let these parents be encouraged this week to show more love, more compassion, more grace, more patience with their students, God. Lord, if they've been having a really trying time with their students, Lord, give them a tenfold amount of patience to work through the situations that they're going through. And Lord, for everyone else in this room, I pray that you would place on our heart a student's name, even if we don't know them, a student's name that we can pray for every day, a student's name that we can intercede on. Lord, we can show love to on Sundays, on Wednesdays, that we can put value there in their lives. Lord, let this church be a sending out church. Lord, let these students be raised up. And then when they go out, they would know that there is a church praying for them. There is people that are interceding on behalf of the things that are going on in their life, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's trying, or whether they're flourishing, God. That they know that there are people praying for them day in and day out. Lord, let these students that are in this church not fall away from you, But Lord, let there be so much honor. Let there be so strong a foundation set from this church, from these parents, Lord, that they could not fall away. Lord, that the path would be set in stone for them, to where then they can, just like Pastor Harris says, make their parents' ceiling the floor of their life. And they could go so much farther than what we could do. So I pray tonight, Lord, give us a name that we can continually pray for and reach out to and put value in their lives as we go about. And show us, God, what we could do better to be more like you and to show honor where honor is due. Thank you so much, God, for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.